For over 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, and we really do try to bring you a lot of really good information all about you and your health. The show is streamed through MyVillageGreen.com. That's MyVillageGreen.com. This is a reminder that Village Green is your resource for questions about your health via the website and the store on Cedar Lane. You can get excellent advice. They carry superior supplements from many manufacturers, including their own Pathway products. Now, we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., so please join us next week for Kevin's discussion on stress and adrenal support. Now, today's guest is Dr. Alan Miller, naturopathic physician. He has extensive clinical experience and currently is executive director for medical education with Thorne Research. Our topic today is new and exciting research on nutrients and botanicals. Welcome to the show, Dr. Miller.
Well, hi, Dana. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Yes, we always have something interesting to talk about. And for listeners, what we'd like to talk about initially is something I call news you can use. And it's about the news that hit the Washington Post most recently that says fish oil boosts health linger despite science saying the opposite. There's no proof that fish oil offers any health benefit, but it still sells. And fish oil pills, a $1.2 billion industry built so far on empty promises. Doesn't sound very scientific, does it, Doctor?
Those are some pretty bold claims there. I think they're bold claims that are based on cherry-picking facts and on bad research. A lot of these studies that the person that wrote the article, a lot of the studies they're looking at, and they're quoting a JAMA study from a year ago. It wasn't a study; it was a review of a lot of the vitamin or a lot of the omega-3, you know, fish oil studies. Unfortunately, a lot of those studies were secondary prevention studies, and what I mean by that is the researchers were not giving fish oil and then looking over a long period of time to see if people developed cardiovascular disease, for instance. Most of the cardiovascular studies with fish oil have been secondary prevention. They take a group of people who already have cardiovascular disease. They give them some fish oil, and in the minds of a lot of these researchers, they're using fish oil like a drug here. And in their minds, okay, well, they're going to treat this with the fish oil. The problem is the cardiovascular disease is a multi-decade process. It doesn't just come on immediately. You can't just like hit it with a fish oil and it's going to stop people from having cardiovascular disease. So those are fatally flawed, those types of studies. And the other thing, in most of these studies, the physicians or the researchers don't look at baseline levels of fish oils, of these omega-3 fatty acids in the blood. I've seen this all too often in research. The researchers will supplement a group of people with fish oil, but they don't know where they were in the first place. And if you don't know what the baseline is, then it's not going to help you just to analyze your results in the end because you don't know who responded and why. The few studies that have looked at that and have looked at baselines found what is total common sense here, which is those people who are deficient in omega-3 fatty acids to begin with at the beginning of the study, they are typically the people that benefit the most from supplementation. And that's almost across the board when we look at nutritional studies. If you do that work, if you look at baseline levels and then you give the nutrient in high enough levels that it will move the meter, will move the needle, and get those people's levels up where they're supposed to be, then you start seeing some really good health benefits.
Well, you said it so well and explained it. Of course, these kinds of headlines garner a lot of attention. And I just wanted our listeners to note that every meta-analysis of human clinical trials that has been published in the last 10 years on reducing cardiac death risk, maintaining healthy blood pressure, and or lowering triglycerides has consistently found a significant benefit to omega-3 consumption. I think that's important. And the other issue is that omega-3s have a variety of functions in the body, from brain structure, cognition, vision, to immunity, skin health, infertility, fetal development. It goes a long way. So to just isolate one aspect and, as you said, look at poor studies does not justify this kind of news. So thank you for explaining it. Now, let's talk a little bit more about our topic, the new and exciting research on nutrients and botanicals. So I'll just let you carry on.
That's kind of a wide open topic now,
yeah,
isn't it? Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about today was fish oil. And you mentioned a couple of things there, cognition and vision. And there was a study recently on people who spend a lot of time in front of the computer, and those people having dry eyes or having vision difficulties. And a study looked at almost 500 people, so it's a nice, well-designed, good, larger study. With dry eyes, people with dry eyes who spend a lot of time in front of the computer, and they gave them omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil, and not in a huge amount either. This is what's really interesting to me. The people took a modest amount. They got 360 milligrams of EPA and 240 of DHA. And anybody that has looked at fish oil supplements should understand that that's a pretty low dose. That's sort of the lower range of fish oil capsules. That would be basically taking one capsule of a fairly low-dose fish oil a day. Doing that, 70% of these folks were symptom-free after 3 months.
Wow.
Just from taking fish oil, and it improved the basically what it does is it improves the structure of the fluids in and around the eye. And we've seen this with other studies. We've seen this with people with elderly people with dry eyes and people with Sjogren's, where they tend to have dry eye, dry mouth, and fish oil tends to benefit these people. So it may be, like I said, sort of changing the structure of those fluids, and the fact that omega-3 fatty acids are anti-inflammatory just in nature.
Yes, they are. And isn't that interesting? I always look at them as being beneficial to all epithelial tissues. And so we definitely see that with the eye, the skin, the mucosal tissues. So there's a lot of benefit. That's a lot of coverage on our body, our epithelial tissues. Very important.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yes.
What other aspects to omega-3s?
Well, what I wanted to do today was just talk about some various newer studies that I've come across, and just wanted to get the word out to folks about them, because I find them exciting. Here's another one. this is one that kind of caught me by surprise, because this was a study looking at omega-3 fatty acid levels in the brain and B vitamin supplementation. So we know already that brain atrophy is one of the signs that you see with dementia. So elderly people start getting dementia. What you can see in their brain is basically shrinking. And what these researchers did here at, I think this was at Oxford, they looked at 168 elderly people that had mild cognitive impairment. So they weren't full-blown dementia, but they had some mild impairment, some memory loss, and things like that. What they did was they gave these folks, again, I don't think they did, if I remember correctly, they didn't do baseline levels of the nutrients, but they supplemented these folks with a B vitamin supplement that had folic acid, B12, and B6. Not a big fan of folic acid myself. I like the active form of folic acid just because so many of us don't do the conversion from that inactive folic acid to the 5-methyltetrahydrofolate. But nevertheless, that's what they used in here, folic acid, B12, B6. And what they found, this is the really interesting part that they found, when they looked at people's omega-3 levels in the blood, the B vitamin supplementation decreased brain atrophy over a 2-year period. So this was a decent period of time. Over a 2-year period of time, it decreased brain atrophy by 40%, or by the rate of brain atrophy, I guess, is what they looked at. But it decreased it by 40% in those people who had a high level of omega-3 fatty acids in the brain to begin with at the beginning of the study.
Wow.
And I looked at that and I went, of course, my first thought is, what is the mechanism here? Because that was something that I hadn't come across yet. The other thing is, so that was 40% improvement. Now, when the researchers looked at just one other component, when they looked at homocysteine, and I'm sure you've spoken with your audience about homocysteine before. It's a metabolite of the amino acid methionine. It is something that, due to lifestyle issues and genetic issues, some of us tend to have a higher level of homocysteine in the blood, and that tends to be a risk factor for cardiovascular disease and strokes and for dementia as well. So when they looked at just this group that had a high homocysteine level, their improvement in brain atrophy was 70%. So the overall group in those folks with high omega-3 fatty acid levels, they supplemented with Bs, 40% improvement. The homocysteine group, 70% improvement, as long as their fatty acid levels were high. It's a little convoluted there, but basically what it's telling you is that the omega-3 fatty acids are reducing inflammation in the brain, and there are some other studies that show that omega-3 fatty acids will reduce homocysteine levels on their own.
This is wonderful news, and I want to repeat this when we start the next segment because I think it's so important. And for those of you who have just tuned in with us, I'm Dana Lake, your host for the hour, and this is the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. We're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We will be right back after this break with more interesting information from Dr. Alan Miller.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA-certified, organic, non-GMO-verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle. A wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 45 years. years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at mivillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. The show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Now, today's guest is Dr. Alan Miller, naturopathic physician. He has extensive clinical experience and is currently executive director for medical education with Thorne Research. Now, our topic today is new and exciting research on nutrients and botanicals. And I just wanted to emphasize a little bit more about Dr. Miller's background. He was the senior editor of Alternative Medicine Review, which was the first peer-reviewed, Medline-indexed journal of clinical therapeutics in integrative medicine. And he's authored numerous peer-reviewed scientific papers. So it's nice to have your expertise, Dr. Miller. Let's continue with some of the good information. And I want to repeat that you just told us the studies, some studies on B12, folic acid, and B6 showed a reduced rate by 40% of brain atrophy using omega-3s over 2 years when the omega-3s were adequate. I think that's what I heard you say. And a significant reduction, 70%, in homocysteine, which is the inflammatory agent. So elaborate if I have not said this correctly.
One thing that was a little incorrect there is that they didn't supplement them with omega-3 fatty acids. The researchers were just looking at omega-3 fatty acids in the blood. And in those people whose omega-3 fatty acids were high, they responded to the B vitamin supplementation. The other thing I didn't say was the converse of that happened as well. People with low omega-3 levels didn't respond. They did not have an improvement in the rate of brain atrophy. So there is definitely a synergistic effect, or some kind of synergistic activity going on here between the B vitamins and the omega-3 fatty acids. And like I was saying just before the break there, it's partly the anti-inflammatory activity of the omega-3s. I'm pretty sure of that. The other part is that omega-3s themselves can lower homocysteine, and we definitely know that B vitamins can lower homocysteine as well. They also, both omega-3 fatty acids and those B vitamins and their interaction with homocysteine, also improve blood vessel function. They improve something called vascular endothelial function. Mm. So the inside lining of our blood vessels is the endothelium, and it's just one cell layer thick, very, very thin. And it regulates a lot of what goes on in the cardiovascular system, so you need that to be healthy. And it is, in general, more healthy when you lower those homocysteine levels, and definitely when you give omega-3 fatty acids. So if you've got enough of those in there, the blood vessels tend to not be inflamed and not want to go toward atherosclerosis. Just fascinating, fascinating study. So I'm seeing that as a lowering of inflammation and an increase in blood flow, most likely, is what caused this really dramatic effect.
You know, that I like the fact that you introduced the word synergism. We talk about that a lot on the show. And in many of the nutritional studies, what I note is they try to isolate a given nutrient or a factor in food and see if it's effective. And I said that's like evaluating each finger on the hand and then determining that a hand really isn't that effective by looking at one digit
that.
At a time. Or for the male metaphor, testing a quarterback by putting him out against the other team with none of his players. And he's going to be pretty lousy. And we could say, well, that's a lousy quarterback. He can't do the job. So it sounds really simplistic, but this is one of the major faults in nutrition studies. I would, if you want to say more about that, you're the expert on research. I'd appreciate it.
I just love your analogy. That's wonderful. You can't look at just one element, especially when you're talking about nutrients and biochemistry. Unfortunately, a lot of physicians don't get a lot of true nutritional functional biochemistry in medical school. And luckily, a lot of physicians are relearning this. They're going to think to places like the Institute for Functional Medicine, and they're learning about this whole other component of nutrition, of functional nutrition, and how nutrients plug into all of these biochemical pathways and all of these biochemical functions that are going on in the body. And so you can't do one without the other. You can't just say, oh, we gave this and this happened. Well, what about all of the other nutrients that are also working as cofactors in all of these biochemical processes? Yeah, I totally agree. And I love the quarterback analogy especially.
I thought you would. So this is excellent. Let's talk about some other exciting news.
You want to talk about synergistic activity again?
Sure.
Here's another one that will either excite you or just blow your mind here. Curcumin is a very popular subject. It's a very popular subject for researchers right now, excuse me. And so there is this big explosion of research around curcumin. Now, curcumin is the sort of the orange pigment that you find in the turmeric root. That is the actual curcumin molecule. And the curcumin is a flavonoid-like substance. And it's used in curries, you know, it's used in a lot of different foods around the world. And what we know about, one of the things that we know about curcumin is it's anti-inflammatory. And it has some really profound effects on human cells, and it actually has these effects at the nuclear level, in the nucleus of the cell, and it's the nucleus of the cell that tells the rest of the cell what to do, pretty much. So it can actually turn on and turn off specific processes and genes in the nucleus that have profound effects on the rest of the cell. One of those effects is anti-inflammatory effects. Now, we know already that DHA, which is one of the omega-3 fatty acids in fish oil, DHA has an effect on the brain and on the brain's structure and function in the brain. So DHA is vitally important in the brain, vitally important for growing, developing brains in kids and in infants. We also know that giving DHA supplementally can help people with anxiety. Now, plug in curcumin here. A study that was published recently in May this year looked at DHA and curcumin together. And what they find is that curcumin actually enhances the synthesis of DHA from alpha-linolenic acid, which is its precursor biochemically. So curcumin also is being looked at as an anti-anxiety, anti-depressant kind of an agent. And my thoughts on those earlier studies looking at curcumin were that, okay, it's an anti-inflammatory, it's reducing inflammation in the brain, and that's one of the components of these things that are going on. But it's not the whole picture. What these researchers found is curcumin actually increases the amount of DHA in the brain. So again, we're having a synergistic effect in the brain, helping prevent things like anxiety disorders. And that one's not a, it's not a large study where you're looking at, you know, hundreds of people or anything like that. It wasn't even an intervention study, but I just find that one really fascinating too, that some of these things that we're doing, like giving curcumin as an anti-inflammatory, let's say, is having other effects, in this case, in the brain, and not just by itself, but in boosting the levels of DHA.
Well, I am delighted with this, and autism, which is one of my, I would call it my one of my subspecialties, DHA is very important in treating people with autism, and curcumin has started to show effects. And I suspect what's happened is the DHA, the omega-3s, have been utilized in the treatment of people with autism for well over two decades, probably three decades. But now that we're using curcumin and getting these excellent effects, I suspect that some of the impressive effects we see with curcumin are really due to the synergism, not just mm-hmm. the curcumin.
Agreed, agreed. Talking about synergistic activity. As well, and you were talking about autism here. If we look at autism, if we look at other brain disorders, ADHD, bipolar, things like that, do you know who Bruce Ames is?
Yes, very well.
Bruce Ames, fascinating man, very famous researcher. He was at University of California, Berkeley, where he did most of his work. He is at the Nutrition and Metabolism Center at Children's Hospital, Oakland, California. He wrote an article, and I don't want to get too deep into it because it hurts my head. I mean, it's one of these articles that you have to like sit down and really focus on it. But it's fascinating information on the synergistic activity in the brain of omega-3 fatty acids and vitamin D.
Uh-huh, yes.
And the fact that vitamin D helps to regulate some of the activity that goes on with omega-3 fatty acids and with neurotransmitters and the amount of serotonin that ends up being made in the brain. Fascinating stuff. So if you get a chance to look that up, Bruce Ames, it's in the FASEB journal, F-A-S-E-B. And it's a beautiful review. I had the pleasure of meeting Bruce Ames, I'm thinking 2 years ago at a conference, and had a great conversation with him. And the guy's getting up there in age, and he is so sharp. We should all be that sharp at his age.
Yeah, he's been on the cutting edge, I would guess, maybe three decades or more.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. That's a good piece of information. And what comes to my mind is the old-fashioned giving cod liver oil. So you get the D, some A, and omega-3.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things with cod liver oil, when would people usually give cod liver oil?
Winter.
A lot of the time it would be in the winter. A lot of the time it would be, oh, you're coming down with a cold. Okay, make sure you get some cod liver oil, right? Well, one of the things that goes on with that is you're getting some vitamin D in that cod liver oil.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin D in high levels increases the amount of these elements that are called antimicrobial peptides. That's sort of the generic term for them. And it looks like that is one of the mechanisms for the sort of the antiviral effect of vitamin D.
Excellent.
So you've got researchers like, it is Bill Grant that was doing this, I believe. Or no, it was John Cannell. John Cannell, who runs the Vitamin D Council.
Yes,
and
yes.
If you haven't gone to you need to go to vitamindcouncil.org.
Right.
There is so much great information about vitamin D there. Well, Dr. Cannell started out working in a psychiatric hospital in California, and he did a clinical study there where he gave people vitamin D throughout the winter, gave half the people there. The people in his care gave them all vitamin D throughout the winter, and then compared the rates of upper respiratory infections in his group versus the rest of the hospital. And of course, the rest of the hospital had, you know, colds and flus rampant throughout during the winter, and his people did not. And one of the things that he recommends to ramp up these antimicrobial peptides is to take a higher level of vitamin D right at the beginning of an upper respiratory infection.
Yes.
And he recommends, you know, pretty high levels, 50 to 100,000 IUs a day. And I would do this, make sure you do this in conjunction with your healthcare professional. But what I've seen clinically is that does work. It really reduces the incidence of colds and flus. If you hit it right at the beginning, it will reduce the duration and the severity of that upper respiratory infection as well, which is why I'm taking 100,000 IUs today and yesterday, because I decided to develop a full-blown URI in the middle of the summer, which got to love that.
Yes. Well, Connell's work is compelling, and I'm always
really
excited to see what he comes up with. And I've used the high vitamin D along with high vitamin A and vitamin C on my own children early on. They're in their mid-40s routinely. And now we're finding it's nice to see the science back up what has been observed clinically for well over 50 years.
Many decades. Yeah.
It's exciting. It's very exciting.
Do you have kids that are how old?
Mid-40s.
Mid-40s. You're ahead of the game there. You're way ahead of me.
Well, I've got six grandchildren, but I also claim 70 nieces, nephews, grandnieces, and grandnephews. Very big family. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
So this is wonderful. You've got such good news. Keep going. We could keep you on here for a long time.
Well, how about vitamin D? Let's talk about vitamin D some more. You can't do any kind of nutritional update looking at nutritional research without talking about vitamin D and curcumin. And you can't get away from those because there are so many researchers that are studying these things, and they're so important. One of the studies that I came across recently, just in the last month, was a vitamin D study looking at levels of vitamin D in pregnant women, and then looking at their children years later and looking at the incidence of ADHD. So, and I love this. This is the first study that's really looked at it in that fashion. So the researchers looked at about 1,600 women and looked at their vitamin D levels, their 25-hydroxy vitamin D level, which is what, that's the marker in the blood for vitamin D. And they looked at those levels during pregnancy. And then they looked at their kids 4 to 5 years later and looked at how many of those children were diagnosed with ADHD. And any guesses on what the results were?
I can imagine.
Yeah, I bet you can. The women who had high vitamin D during pregnancy had a significant decreased risk in having a child with ADHD 4 to 5 years later.
And that's powerful.
That is powerful. So powerful.
Well, we're going to continue this discussion in the next segment. Those of you who've just tuned in with us, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. We're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate this show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, and we work on bringing you a lot of good information all about you and your health. And Village Green is your resource for questions about your health via the website and the store in Cedar Lane. Just a reminder that we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Now, today's guest is Dr. Alan Miller, naturopathic physician. He has extensive clinical experience and currently is executive director for medical education with Thorne Research. And our topic is new and exciting research on nutrients and botanicals. And we've been discussing the effect of synergism, where when you combine one nutrient with another or more nutrients together, you can get an improved synergism. Greater than either individual result, we get a greater result, and that's synergism. And it's been exciting to see the studies that are now expanding into the area of synergism. So, Dr. Miller, let's just keep talking about this.
I found a recent study interesting. This has nothing to do with synergistic activity of stuff of nutrients, but I found this really fascinating that. Researchers at William & Mary University looked at a group of their students, and all they asked them was if they ate fermented foods. And they gave them a list, you know, of sauerkraut and pickles and yogurt and things like that, a kefir or whatever. And if they ate fermented foods, and the other questions they asked them were about anxiety symptoms. And they were specifically, for some reason, looking at social anxiety. And what they found, and this is an observational study, this wasn't one of those studies where you take a group of people who have a certain symptom and you give them something and see if it improves it. So it's hard to get a real causality here, but still, observational studies are important. And what they found here was that students who ate fermented foods had less social anxiety symptoms. Why would that be? That's always my question, though. That's always the first question when I look at stuff like this. Okay, wait a minute. What's the mechanism? Why would that be? In this case, it's the fermented foods are having an effect on the gut microbial flora. And we're seeing other studies that are showing similar kinds of results, that when you improve the gut microflora, the bacteria that are living in the gut, when you improve that environment, it can have an effect on the brain. And people even talk about the what's called the gut brain.
Right.
Think of common sense and from way back, and people talk about your gut feelings, right? There is this connection between the gut and your brain. And There are sort of reflexive connections and neural connections between the two. And there are also other things going on, like your gut bacteria are producing things like serotonin.
Right.
And so it's just fascinating stuff here that, okay, you're improving the gut microbiome and you are improving symptoms of anxiety, or you are preventing anxiety symptoms in this case. Just fascinating stuff. Another study recently looked at magnesium, giving magnesium to people who were magnesium deficient. And what they found were people who were magnesium deficient in the first place had a different gut microbial flora going on. And when they improved that when they supplemented with magnesium to improve the magnesium deficiency, they changed the gut microflora, and that changed mood in these folks.
Isn't that significant? Adele Davis years ago talked about magnesium. And Mildred Seelig was the chief researcher for many decades on magnesium, and she even was editor of a journal called Magnesium. Mm-hmm. And they called it nature's house cleaner, and we know it affects 75% of the enzymes in the body, but here you're talking about the gut actually benefiting. Very exciting.
Yeah, so in this case, we're talking about it affecting not necessarily directly the human biochemistry, but you're affecting the microbial biochemistry. And, you know, we they're along for the ride. You know, we live this great synergistic, hey, that's where we get that's where we can tie that in. There we go. We live this great synergistic activity here with our bugs.
Yeah,
the bugs that are living in us and on us. And we can't forget that.
Well, we look back with horror at the idea that we had to sterilize everything and all the products, and we're still doing it with the hand sanitizers. We're getting rid of the good ones and some potential bad ones, but I haven't seen that there's been this push to relook at that issue.
There are some researchers that are looking at this issue sort of peripherally, and it's not getting, like you said, it's not getting a ton of attention quite yet. One set of researchers, and this is a great segue, thank you very much, there's a group of researchers in Sweden who they made kind of a splash in the news in May, I think this year, where they looked at different families who had a dishwasher in the house versus hand washing dishes. And they looked at the incidence of allergies and asthma in those families. And what they found was if you sanitized those dishes by having them in a dishwasher, you had an increased risk of allergies and asthma in the family. Those people who hand wash dishes, and it's difficult to get that water hot enough to completely sanitize everything that you're washing. Though in those families, there was a decreased risk of having allergies and asthma.
Wow.
It doesn't surprise me, but I love seeing stuff like that. Now, the same group, when I looked at that study, I said, oh, wow, I wonder what these guys, these researchers, have done in the past. I kind of wanted to see their track record and other things that they've researched. And I looked in the references on the paper on dishwashing, and there was a study on pacifier cleaning practices. And as a parent of three kids myself, three grown children, I remember pacifiers in their mouth, pacifier falls out of their mouth, it hits the floor, it hits the ground, whatever. And the typical thing that a lot of parents do, especially when you're out and about, is you'll pick up the pacifier and you'll put it in your own mouth and kind of wash it off and then put it in your kid's mouth. That's actually not a bad thing.
Yes.
So what these same researchers did is they looked at and they surveyed a bunch of parents and asked them about their pacifier cleaning practices and whether or not they, you know, if that thing hit the floor, it went immediately into a dishwasher and got sanitized or got washed really well, or whether they just put it in their mouth and put it in their kid's mouth. Those people who put it in their mouth and in their child's mouth, their kids had a greater diversity of bacterial flora than those kids who got the sanitized pacifier. Again, it's just, it's one of those things. It's just, it's fascinating. I don't know if we can specifically base any recommendations on it, but it's one of those things that backs up the hygiene hypothesis of if we're too clean and sanitizing everything too much, it's not giving our bodies a chance to interact with some of these microbes, and not giving our immune system the chance to then build up resistance against some of these things.
And think about what the parents are doing there. It's a quick, natural thing to do. You pick up that pacifier, and that's what you do. And I always like to look at those instinctive kinds of behaviors and say they're there for a reason, just as children pick up things and put them in their mouths. And what we now know is they're culturing themselves to their environment. Unfortunately, some of the things they put in their mouths have chemicals on them, and that has been a problem. But this is a very interesting concept, and it goes right back to the basics, which is the microbiome. Very
absolutely
fascinating.
Absolutely. We can't forget about those trillions of bacteria.
So go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you continue because these are good tidbits.
I was just going to say, I actually know a doctor that refers to himself as us.
As us, yes.
Us instead of me.
Yes.
Because he's giving respect to number of other organisms that are living inside and outside the body.
Well, good. I will remember that. And I just want to remind you that the us here is, I'm your host for the day. I'm Dana Lake, and this is the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. We're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more interesting information from Dr. Alan Miller.
Solgar number 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar number 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar number 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar number 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar number 7 says yes. Solgar number 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Multivitamins. That's right, certified organic, made with the highest quality standards, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, non-GMO certified, vegan, and gluten-free. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. ProBalardi from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. ProBalardi provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function, in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. ProBalardi is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorn Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorn's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. We are brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Please join us next week for Kevin's discussion on stress and adrenal support. Now, today's guest has been Dr. Alan Miller, naturopathic physician with extensive clinical experience and currently executive director for medical education with Thorne Research. Our topic has been and continues to be new and exciting research on nutrients and botanicals. So, Dr. Miller, let's talk about research, Thorne Research, and how people can access information and more of your interesting information on nutrients and botanicals.
Well, people can access a lot of our information, our educational information, at thorne.com, just at our website. And it's thorne.com. I also do some video. Oops, did I lose you?
Nope,
I thought
we're
I
here.
A second there. Okay. I also do a video research update about every 4 weeks, and we post those to our Facebook page. So you can go to Thorne Research's Facebook page, and you'll actually get a little bit of a review of some of the things that we've talked about today, because I've been compiling all of this research over the last few months and putting them together in these fairly short, 4 to 5 minute video segments. But you can go there and get reacquainted with some of this information if you'd like to hear it again, and see my smiling face on there and all that. So,
good. So www.thorne.com.
Thorne.com. Yes. Thorne. We have these guidelines in the U.S. for the amount of fruits and vegetables that are recommended that people take, that people eat every day. We have never been close to those guidelines as a country, and it's really pretty awful. A researcher that works for the U.S. government recently looked at this, and these are actually 2013 numbers, but it just got published, and they were looking at how many people in the U.S. eat enough fruits and vegetables to meet these federal recommendations. Less than 15%.
Wow.
Overall. Overall, if you're looking at all 50 states, less than 15% eat enough fruits and vegetables. In 2013, half of the people consumed fruits less than once per day and vegetables less than twice a day. So, boy, with all of the education that we are trying to do, that you're trying to do with your radio show, that I'm trying to do with the things that we do at Thorne Research, we're still, as a culture, not very healthy when it comes to the nutrition and the good foods that we're taking in every day. Now, that was the looking at all 50 states, and if you look at a couple of states individually, California is the healthiest state when it comes to intake of fruits and vegetables. In California, 13% of people were eating enough fruit, and 9% were eating enough vegetables. That's still awful, but yeah. It's better than other places. It's better than other places like Tennessee and Mississippi. In Mississippi, look at vegetable intake. 5.5% of people in Mississippi were getting the recommended amount of vegetables.
Wow.
13% in California. So we still have a long ways to go, Dana, unfortunately.
Well, and I'm looking at those statistics and making an assumption here that when they're not eating healthy foods, quite frequently what they're eating are processed, refined foods, which contribute to obesity. And you pointed to two areas of the country where obesity is a huge problem. Not as much so in California, as I recall.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. If you look at that data as well, you're right on. California obesity data. Fewer people in California are obese compared to places like Mississippi and Tennessee.
Yes, it's a sad commentary.
The South is not doing well. Yeah. Let's see. I wanted to talk about magnesium for a minute again, just because it's so important, and deficiency in magnesium is so prevalent. When you look at the fruit and vegetable intake, you're looking at so many nutrients, but when you're looking at the micronutrients here, the B vitamins, you're going to find those in fruits and vegetables. So we've obviously got the majority of people in the U.S. not getting enough B vitamins from their food. One of the other things that you will see, one of the other nutrients that will be quite high if you are taking in a good whole food diet that's got lots of fruits and vegetables in it, your magnesium levels are going to tend to be higher. Magnesium levels being lower, which, you know, I was lecturing in California, throughout California, throughout Texas recently, and lecturing to physicians and asked them in my audience if, you know, how many of their patients were magnesium deficient. And I got the response back from so many of them saying that most of their patients, most if not all, were magnesium deficient. Personally, when I was in full-time practice and I was testing people's red blood cell magnesium levels, I stopped testing because it was overwhelming that most people were deficient in magnesium and really need either some supplementation or a massive improvement in their dietary intake.
I totally agree, and I'm glad you mentioned the red blood cell magnesium, because serum magnesiums don't show true deficiency until it's a late stage deficiency. So I'm just emphasizing that.
Magnesium, like calcium in the blood, your body actually does a really good job of regulating those in the blood. But it does that by basically stealing it from tissue.
Yes.
And so you're not going to see, if you just do a blood draw, you're not going to see low magnesium or low calcium until it gets pretty bad.
Right, right. My analogy for that is, it's if you keep $100 in your wallet and you just keep drawing money out of the bank, you don't know you're out of money until there's no $100 to withdraw, because you're not looking at your balance. And I see serum as that wallet. It's not telling you the truth of your wealth.
So, you're just full of very good analogies.
Yeah, I like it. So keep going.
And those analogies, I find them very positive and very effective when we're talking to patients, because those types of common sense analogies really get people. They go, absolutely, I get that. It makes biochemistry a lot easier to understand, definitely. So we're talking about magnesium. Leg cramps are really common in pregnant women. And as you know, giving magnesium can help muscles to relax when they need to. So when we've got people who have muscle cramps, we tend to want to give them magnesium and or magnesium and calcium, depending on what we think they're deficient in. But magnesium alone, even without testing somebody, just as a trial, it's a great trial to give to people who have cramps. And in leg cramps, a study looked at pregnant women who had leg cramps, and they gave them just a trial of magnesium or a trial of placebo, which is great. You know, this science, it's nice to be able to do both and see what the outcome is. And what they found was 300 milligrams daily of magnesium controlled those leg cramps, and they got significant relief, whereas the placebo didn't. So,
you know, that's simple, and it's so true. What it also reduces is early delivery and preeclampsia.
Absolutely.
It's one of my favorite supplements in pregnancy. Well, I wish that we could continue this conversation. Dr. Miller, I know you'll be joining us again. You always have such good information, and I like the way you make clear to our listeners what the research is showing. So thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us on The Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. As our lives move forward, I am reminded that every day is a new day, every minute a new minute, giving us many opportunities to make positive, health-enhancing choices. And please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Did you know at Village Green we offer everyday savings on top quality nutritional supplements, including herbs and homeopathic remedies, plus personal care products and more? That's right. In addition to our other big sales events, you can save up to 20% on most everything you need for a healthier lifestyle today and every day. At Village Green, we've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living products for over 45 years. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.